There was a time that some of us would not be found dead in a church. Am I right about that? You know your story.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Pastor Brian Grant's message tonight continues to trace the exploits of the children of Israel as they move to take possession of the Promised Land. As they approached the Jordan, the first order of business was to spy out the mighty city of Jericho, which blocked the way. So in this account of the spies' interaction with a woman despised by the good citizens of Jericho, Pastor Grant highlights the amazing story of God's amazing grace. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of his message, Transformed by Unfathomable Grace.
The Browns lived in a very remote area and had neither access to television or the internet. And one day they decided it was time for them to visit a big city. They checked into a hotel and they were just amazed by all the things they were seeing for the very first time. For example, an elevator. After they left the check-in desk, there they were faced with this elevator. And since they had never seen an elevator, they didn't know what an elevator was for. They stood before the elevator, an old lady came dragging her feet along, and she came and she pressed the button of the elevator, and to their amazement, the elevator doors opened, the lady went into the elevator, the doors closed, they stood watching. A minute and a half later, the door reopened, and to their shock, a young, stunningly beautiful woman came out. The poor father, he could not believe the change that had been done by the elevator. He said to his wife, his son, hurry and get your mom. Dad thought the elevator could transform how people looked. But this is total fiction. Amen? But my friend, what I want to talk about this morning is not fiction. It's fact. Because what we want to talk about this morning is the fact that God desires to transform everyone's life. He wants to transform your life and your life and your life and my life. God wants to do a major transformation in our lives. And my friend, I trust that this morning all of us are going to be open to what God wants to do. You know, God's unfathomable grace is able to transform zeros and make them into God's heroes. Today's text introduces us to a woman whose name is Rahab. And Rahab was a woman who was shunned by the women in her community. You see, no woman wanted Rahab around her husband. And those of you who know the story understand why. Because although if you ask Rahab what was her occupation, she may have said, I'm in the entertainment business. That was really a stretch because Rahab really was in the sex business. Rahab was a harlot. Rahab ran a house of prostitution. And amazingly, although from the society standpoint, Rahab was a big fat zero, but God was going to turn this zero into a hero. And by the end of the story, by the end of Rahab's life, we're going to find that Rahab ends up in God's Hall of Fame. She becomes one of the heroes of the faith listed in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. How in the world did this happen? How did Rahab move from the house of shame to God's Hall of Fame? And today, as we answer that question, I'm using as my title, Transformed by Unfathomable Grace. Transformed by Unfathomable Grace. But before we go any further, I want us just to pause for a moment to dream. Pause for a moment. Young person, pause for a moment to dream. And as you do, I'd like you to ask yourself this question. In what way would you, what way would I like God to transform my life? What is it that you would like God to do in your life? How would you like God to transform your life? Because we're speaking this morning on the topic, transformed by unfathomable grace. Write this down if you're taking notes. If our, and I hope you are, by the way, because I think this, there's a big takeaway this morning. And if our primary determination, put this on the screen, if our primary determination is to live for God, His grace will change our lives and put us on His victory side, regardless of our past. Amen. Oh, I know I'm talking this morning, whether you're here or you're online. I know I'm speaking to individuals this morning. There's some of you who have had a terrible start in life. So perhaps it wasn't even your fault. Perhaps your parents messed up. But perhaps you messed up as well. But here's the bottom line. Some of us are off to a terrible start. But no matter how bad our start was, we don't have to finish that way. Amen. Because God's unfathomable grace can totally transform our lives. Amen. So what is grace? You know, the word grace comes from the Greek word charis, and I could give you a theological definition, but I'm going to be very practical. So write down this very practical working definition of grace. Grace is God choosing to bless us although we deserve to be cursed. Because of our sin, we deserve God's curse. But because of grace, God has chosen to bless us. Bless His holy name. Amen. Amen. The next few minutes, I want to share with you four important lessons from Rahab's story about God's grace. So here is the first thing I want you to put in your notes. I want us first to talk about the pursuing nature of God's grace. The pursuing nature of God's grace. In Joshua chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now Joshua, the son of Nun," it doesn't mean he didn't have anybody. There was no parents, okay? That's an odd name to have. Joshua, the son of Nun. Do we have any nuns here? Or Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, we all know that we're round and round, just a short distance, but God had them going round in circles. It was finally time for Israel to cross the Jordan River and take possession of the promised land. And now that Joshua was the leader, to ensure safe passage as he crossed across the Jordan, finally into the promised land, to make sure there was safe passage, Joshua sent two spies to Jericho, because Jericho was the first city they would run into when they crossed over. And Jericho was an incredibly well-fortified city. We probably will get there. You know, it's interesting. I started off saying this was going to be a mini-series. I have no idea when it's going to end. By the time it ends, it might not be quite a mini-series after all, because we may actually get all that distance to talk about Jericho. But pray that the Lord will lead us and guide us how far we should go. Amen? So here they were. They were crossing over to examine enemy territory to ensure safety. But instead of going to Motel 6, and Motel 6, you remember what they used to say? We what? We keep the lights on for you. But instead of going to Motel 6 that keeps the light on, it seems like they wanted to go to somewhere that didn't keep the lights on. And so they went to the Rahab Motel. Hello. No. My brother understands about this Rahab Motel because, of course, Rahab Motel is the home of the prostitute. She was the one running the show over here. So why in the world would these two spies go to the home of the prostitute? Oh, some of you are going to say, oh, there were good reasons because strange men were always coming and going from Rahab's motel. And so if two extra strange men showed up, nobody would think it odd that these two strange men were coming because probably had some strange business to do. But perhaps you may say, they were there because they know that people who go to that type of a motel keep everything quiet. You know, as they say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So they figure, hey, if we show up there, we know for sure these guys aren't going to spill the beans and tell anybody where they were and who they saw. There may have been practical reasons why they went there. But please don't miss this. Write this down. The primary reason they went to Rahab's house was because of the pursuing nature of God's grace. God had directed them to Rahab's house so he could show her his unfathomable grace. Don't miss that. They went there because God directed them there. God had a plan for Rahab, and he needed them to introduce her to the mighty Savior. Aren't you glad God's grace pursued you? Oh, come on now. Aren't you glad God's grace pursued you? There was a time that some of us would not be found dead in a church. Am I right about that? You know your story. You know how hard it was for them to drag you in here. Oh, there was a time we wouldn't be found dead with a Bible in our hands. But because of God's pursuing grace, here we are in church today shouting and talking the old story. Thank God for his unpursuing grace. Amen. Trophies of grace. You know, Jonah can testify about God's pursuing grace. For Jonah was so determined to disobey God. Am I right about that? He was so determined to disobey God, Jonah was willing to die. But as a result of God's pursuing grace, Jonah found himself in Whale University. And by God's grace, Jonah was turned around. You know, the Apostle Paul can also testify about God's pursuing grace. For Paul hated Christians so much, he was going around beating and terrorizing them. But on one of his journeys to abuse some more Christians, God's pursuing grace grabbed a hold of him. Hold your finger in Joshua and turn with me to Acts of the Apostles chapter 9. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9. I'm just going to read the first six verses of Acts of the Apostles. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. He wanted to kill some Christians. He went down to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were there of the way, that's what they used to call the Christians at that time, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul said, what did Paul say? Who are you, what? Lord. Oh, I don't have time to preach on that this morning, but just let me say it by the way, that Paul knew exactly who he was. Paul says, who are you, Lord? And yet he was killing all the Christians. You know what? That tells me that there are some folks listening to me this morning, though you are not saved. It's not because you don't know who Jesus is. It's not because you don't know that Jesus is the Lord, the Christ, the one who died for your sins. It's because of your rebellious heart. You are determined to do your thing. But this morning, by the grace of God, it is our prayer that this grace will pursue you and finally stop you, and that you will come to Jesus Christ. Paul says, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to keep kicking against the pricks or the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Just like that, this man who had been killing Christians submitted his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe there are some Pauls listening today. Pauls who so far you have been rebellious. You have been saying, "God, I ain't going your way. God, I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to get high. I'm going to do whatever I want to do." But this morning, the Spirit of God, God's pursuing grace, is after you. And he's right where you are. And he's saying, "Listen, are you going to surrender your life to me?" And it is my prayer that just like the Apostle Paul, there's somebody listening this morning who will say, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And my friend, I want you to know that God has a plan. Jesus has a plan. He has a great plan for your life, and he will transform your life and make it an incredible vessel of glory. But what have we said so far? First, the pursuing nature of God's grace. But second, I want you to put in your notes the wideness of God's grace. The wideness of God's grace. Joshua chapter 2, we're back to Joshua. Let's read from verses 2 to verse 5. "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country.'" Uh-oh. Word got to the king real fast. Whether it was that, we don't know who spilled the beans. "So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country.' Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them.'" Was that true? It was a lie. Rahab had such a big prostitution business, she even provided overnight accommodations. Did you see that? Spiritually speaking, she had a lot of strikes against her. For she was a heathen, she was a prostitute, and of course she was such a liar. Lying came so naturally. It was so ingrained in her. She didn't realize that she didn't have to lie to help God out. Now, you realize that she thought she was helping God out, because later on you're going to find that, as you heard the story read, you find out that she actually had come to the point where she realized that the God of Israel was really the God. And so she wanted to make sure she helped him out, but she didn't realize, you know, listen, young person, you never have to tell a lie to help God out. "Oh, I had to lie." No, you never have to lie. Rahab had so many strikes against her, but thank God for the wideness. I'm calling it the wideness of God's grace. That's why there the song said, "There is never a sinner so far from God that Jesus can't bring them home." Thank you very much. There is never a sinner so far from God that Jesus can't bring them home. Write this down. God's grace is so wide, there's more than enough room for any sinner. Oh, I hope you heard that. Young man, I hope you heard that. God's grace is so wide, there's more than enough room for every sinner. So no matter what you've done, this is one of the wonderful things of preaching the gospel. I'm so glad to have the privilege of preaching the gospel of the grace of God, because I'm able to say unequivocally that no matter what you have done, no matter how much mess you have made, it doesn't matter to the Almighty God. The grace of God is so wide, it can cover you. Amen. God's grace is so wide that there's more than enough room for any sinner. Hold your finger in Joshua 2 and jump over with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, he didn't die for the good folks. Who did Jesus die for? The ungodly. The folks who had no use for God. That's who Jesus died for. And if you are ungodly, if you are a rebel, Jesus died just for you. When we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man. Some people might die for somebody good, but here's the story. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. While we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. I am so glad that Jesus died for me. My friend, young person, older person, it doesn't matter how much mess you have made. Oh, from time to time, I get a chance to speak with some folks who have made a grand mess. But oh, I thank God that by the grace of God, I've seen a gunman who did all this shooting in Kingston. I've seen his life transformed by the grace of God. I've seen ladies who were on the corner selling their bodies transformed by the grace of God. I've seen the drug dealers transformed by the grace of God. And I'm here to tell you that no matter what you have done, the grace of God can transform your life.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.